This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast. We are your host, The Grays, and today is our 1 year anniversary of the podcast, the birth of the podcast. And we've done a lot for our first year, I must say. Mm-hmm. But we're going to cover that at the end. We're going to do a year in review for the podcast at the end of the episode. But this special episode is going to be, we're going to be covering Star Trek and Star Wars.
Yep.
We're amongst other stars. I'm sure we'll talk Battlestar and all the other stars. But the biggest news, Tom, is that Patrick Stewart is coming back to Star Trek universe.
Yeah, as of yesterday.
Yeah, this dropped this weekend, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it got like primetime news like announcements on a Saturday. People were talking about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's huge. People I didn't even know were like Star Trek fans. Are like, oh my god, Patrick Stewart's doing it again. But I think it's cool.
Yeah, we had talked about it before we went on that he's 78, looks great. He's in great shape. I had said he's done 20 years of wheelchair work, which is, you really don't put your body through a lot on that. And when you have Hugh Jackman carrying around for a whole movie, you know, it seems to be physically in shape. I'm extremely excited. But the thing is, like, it's going to take place years after, decades after Star Trek The Next Generation. And I'm curious to see where they go with it.
Yeah, I didn't read everything. I hadn't had a chance to necessarily read everything just yet. But I thought I saw that he's definitely not going to be like Captain Jean-Luc anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to be post-Starfleet career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to wrap my head around and figure out what that could be.
Yeah, and you know, you and I talked about it on
several... Maybe Ambassador.
And I have a Twitter conversation I'd like to read in a minute, but we had talked about the possibilities of this coming back. I know we joked about it in several episodes that this could be an absolute possibility. Everybody looks great. I don't think anybody from that cast has died, right? No. So everyone looks great. They're all doing the con circuit. Brett Spiner, I mean, he's getting more work than pretty much everyone at this point.
Well, Jonathan Frakes is doing a ton of directing.
Yeah.
And
Brent Spiner's got Outcast season 2 out now, but it's going to end. Like, it's already filmed, so that's over with. And he was added to Supergirl. He's going to play the vice president, which was a huge get. That's what your words in our text message.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Like, any more like geeks that go into my geekdom is fantastic. But I mean, is there anybody you think that's going to return or anybody you want to see return?
I don't know how they're going to play it. Geordi looks good still.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a huge TV career right now.
But he's just got a huge podcast.
Yeah, that podcast is gigantic. It's great. I love that podcast.
Diana Troi looks great.
If they're going to... I mean, her and Will will probably be married in it or divorced. Who knows? And Will Wheaton. Hopefully Will Wheaton has a place on the show. Who knows?
He might even get a haircut. Because his Instagram is just his bedhead.
Will Wheaton could be like an admiral in this. It's been 30 years.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. Everybody is, I think, able to.
Yeah.
And has the time to do it. I don't think there's any problem with that. I don't know what they're going to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I the way that the show tracked, he became an ambassador.
Yeah.
After he was a captain. But that was the last episode, and the timeline was messed up by Q. So, who knows? Maybe that's what he's going to do now, is an ambassador, and, you know, we'll see that he's tried to settle down. He can't do it, and they need... Maybe the Borg come back.
Oh, no.
And they need his expertise in handling the Borg or something like that.
Maybe Data is, like, his assistant.
Right.
Can you see, is it Data, or did he go by B4 by the end?
He was before.
Yeah.
But he was getting his... Data's personality was supposedly coming... Like, his engrams were coming out.
Okay.
And in the movies... in the comic book, like, continuation, I think it was Data.
Wouldn't it be great... over. My thought is, like... And this is just...
Supposedly, they were canon, so...
Yeah. My fan dream for this is for it to go way off into the future and we revisit Zorn. Like, you know, that's a possibility. He's still alive. We saw him at the Great Philadelphia Comic Con.
True.
The man who plays Zorn. And I think that would be awesome just to go a little bit forward. And maybe they've explored the utopias and Zorn came back to mess with Patty Stu. Maybe like as like a delusion or a hallucination.
I don't know. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Well, but I would really, I mean, maybe the Borg thing would work. But I'd really like to see him, because he was always a diplomat.
Yeah.
That was his first objective, was to be diplomatic and not really shoot. But and that's why it was so good that he started to lose control because of the Borg. That's what made it great. But we'll see.
What if they just go balls to the wall and do Mirror Broken?
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. And we talked to JK about it. Yeah, he said that would make for great television.
I mean, we talked about how big of a deal Mirror Broken, or, you know, the broken mirror, or the you know, mirror universe has become in Discovery. That's you know, that's people's favorite episodes, mm-hmm. and that's what everybody liked. So who knows? Maybe that's what they do.
And it's an awesome comic book, and it's by J.K. Woodward. His art's in there. And they're all buff, super buff, and I'd like to see Patty Stu buff.
I don't... At 78, I don't know what diet he's going to go on to put some muscle. You know, J.K. Simmons did.
Right.
So, maybe. All right. But, you know, it'd be fun to see what they do.
All right,
I'm looking forward to it.
Let me hit you with a series of 5 tweets that I found across the internets. I'm not going to give this person credit because I didn't ask, but I'm going to give you an idea of what this person thinks. It's 4 tweets, and viewer discretion is advised. There's some salty language in this. All right, so this was in reply to Heather Candon is the person, I believe. She's attached to Discovery and CBS All Access, which, by the way, the series will be on CBS All Access.
Yeah.
So get your, $11.99 ready.
Yeah.
Because it's this one. So this person says, your premise must be as in caps. Yeah. Picard is ambassador at large. He is assigned to a ship which Riker commands. It must be, again in caps, a story of story of the week series like Deep Space Nine was. Do not go serialized, again in capitalization. Like STD fans want stories about exploration. Here we go again, more caps. Do not try and reconcile the two licenses. Show Romulus there because fans will not accept it otherwise. Repair the canon problems in STD and remove it from the canon as a whole. I've heard Ambassador is what you want to do. Then this has to be your premise. Has to be. Then he tweets 2 other people. Ira Stephen Bear and Ron D. Moore must be your showrunner. Must be, again, in capitals. Your writers that have done enough damage to the IP with STD, all in caps again, must be gone. Lastly, the fans know more about Trek than do. God. Stop the fighting with them. I hope you don't fuck this up as bad as STD. Now you want to produce something fans will actually like. Listen very closely. Number 1, your visual stuff or your visual reboot stuff must be gone. Adherence to the canon is a mandate. No fucking around like STD. Thoughts?
We kind of talked about poisonous fandoms before.
Somebody was let out of their mother's basement.
Yeah. And you know, we talked about, I don't know if we've talked on the show about how bad fandoms can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like Star Trek or Star Wars is a huge example.
Yeah,
how horrible they've been to people that have just got their dream job and got onto a movie called Star Wars, and they are a character.
Yep.
Has nothing to do. Maybe you could say, you know, Disney and you know, there has ruined Star Wars, but that has nothing to do with, you know, any actress or actor.
Yeah, they take a role. That's a payday.
Yeah, and it's not even just a payday. It's something they vote, you know, as a kid, you dreamed you could be in that universe.
And if they were to switch places with the actors and actresses, they would definitely go. They'd go in there and just be a stormtrooper at this point.
I think you said it on your other podcast, Active Geek, and I said it. Like, I'm not a fan of Rose character. But so what?
Exactly.
That doesn't have anything to do with her.
Yep.
So this is another kind of poisonous fandom that a lot of people have been like, STD is not canon. It's not good. It doesn't make any sense. It's totally against the mythos of Star Trek.
Yep.
But it's a mythos that they created. Like, they don't even realize, and it's because of how violent it is and how, you know, kind of sort of sexually charged it is.
Yeah.
Well, the reason that they say that is because they don't never really paid attention. There was so much, like, they could only do so much back in the 90s with their shows. But if they could have done what they're doing now, they would have.
Yeah.
They pushed the boundaries as much as they could. You know, Kirk was banging everything that existed.
Exactly. That was pretty sexually charged back then.
And as far as violence, there was tons of violence, tons of bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Starfleet was a horrible, horrible organization from the beginning.
Yeah, they brought on Nog.
But, you know, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about all the odd killings or, you know, the whole red shirt conspiracy. Yep. And all the weird deaths that didn't matter or just went away. Or the horrible writing in, like, season one of Deep Space Nine, season one and two of The Next Generation. Voyager, they finally were starting to get it right, but still have a ton of problems.
Yeah.
So they forget about how bad stuff is. They put it up on this pedestal, and they say, you know, this STD, which is, like we've said, is a
terrible acronym.
Yeah. They're going to be stuck with that forever. But it wasn't bad.
No.
It was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't accept it for what it was. They have to sell that to somebody. They have to sell it, and they have to sell it on their app. There's going to be so many people that come to it because it's Star Trek. But if they want new people, which are the major consumers,
yeah,
they can't put a show that looks like it's from the 90s out.
Exactly. They want the fans of the Chris Pine Star Trek
right
to come in and watch it.
There had to be something that brought in new people. And when you watch things that are, even like shows that are written, like The Expanse is an amazingly written show. We like it. But, and it doesn't rely as heavily on its graphics and its visuals, but it still has to have amazing visuals.
Yeah.
You have to grab people, because if not, if you're just going to pump anything out, sci-fi's putting out decent, you know, visually appealing stuff. You're going to lose people.
Yep.
You need to have something that appeals visually to people that are used to seeing things like what the Marvel Universe has put out.
Yeah. That series of tweets is just one fan's theory. And he's speaking for everyone. He says he's speaking for everyone.
But he's not. And, you know, people that, you know, we've talked to on the interwebs have said the same thing. Oh, STD is horrible. But where is it horrible?
Exactly.
You know,
the two of us like it.
If you're gonna say it's horrible because, let's say, the writing, then why didn't you ever walk away from The Next Generation or Deep Space Nine
exactly
when it got real bad? And, you know, Next Generation had really horrible, like, they were losing money by the end because all their money was being put into Deep Space Nine. So they had some really shitty shows. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, big complaint that I had about it is it just, they had these great storylines that didn't carry over.
Yeah.
It was just cut. And then, you know, we have another episode. Why not? That was fun to have. And that's what people liked about Deep Space Nine, is characters had a memory.
Yeah, and this guy wants it just not even be serialized. It has to be story of the week, story of the week, story of the week. And that could be good for short attention span viewers.
Yeah, I don't get why that would be preferable.
No. You want to have a huge story arc. That's what people climb to. A cliffhanger at the end, like for Walking Dead, for example. The cliffhanger, the fans didn't like it at the end of season 6, but they tuned into season 7 to see who died, and they didn't even get that answer until the second episode.
Right.
So people still return to it. It's the same thing with Star Trek. If you do a cliffhanger at the end of season 1, people are going to go back to season 2 as long as the cliffhanger is worth it.
And that's the thing is, now there's really, really brilliant, smart writing being done where, you know, people are binging entire seasons of, because 13 hours doesn't seem so crazy when you're watching something that you're invested in.
Exactly. And for the CBS All App,
for an app that you have to buy, that's how things should be.
Exactly. And my thought for CBS All Access, there's a contingent of people that are going to watch it episodically. People are going to watch it each week. Each Sunday it's going to come on, they're going to watch it. But then there's the people that can't tune into something at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday because they have to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to wait till the end of the season and Netflix it on CBS All Access, and they're just going to binge the hell out of it.
The only reason that worked, you know, was because you couldn't have, like, these great, huge story arcs, because at the time, you didn't have any way to record it. Or I mean, you had VHS.
Yeah.
So you could never really, like, you didn't have access to it at all times. So you didn't want a story arc and it be 4 or 5, you know, episodes long.
Yeah.
Because by the time that, you know, it gets a syndication, they might not run it in order. They might, exactly. You might never have them pitched together. That's the only reason they did that. And that's why they did it. It is great. Star Trek Next Generation is great despite that, not because of it. And it's mm-hmm. the same thing for the original. It was the same thing. They couldn't, nobody had any idea. There wasn't even VHS. It was just ran, and if you didn't see it, well, you know, good luck.
Yeah. The only thing about his tweet, that this series of tweets, and I believe it's a man, I'm generalizing, but the only thing I like about the series of tweets is the premise of the story, that he's an ambassador at large
yeah.
on a ship captained by Riker. I think that could make for a good television show. But that's about it. I don't care about the show, who needs to be the showrunners, and this guy's commanding orders. I don't give a shit about that.
No.
I'm excited to see Patrick Stewart back on TV, back on serialized television,
mm-hmm.
in a role that everyone knows and loves him for. So
right.
I'm 100% on board. I don't care what these troll people say.
It depends. I mean, Jonathan Frakes, everybody, we said everybody looks good.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart doesn't look like he's 30 years older. Some of them do.
Yeah.
But everybody, you know, could be aged a little bit, getting, you know, tone up. And so you're going to realistically have to have the show at least 20 years in the future.
Mm-hmm. And who's to say any of these characters come back?
Right.
And they, like, could reintroduce a whole new Enterprise.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. Well, yeah. Or maybe he needs to come back, and or maybe he gets lost somewhere. Something's
yeah.
different is going to happen. Or maybe some Q problem. What's his name that does Q? John DeLancey.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the bad guy from the with the ponies, My Little Pony.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Maybe it's him. Maybe he comes back. He still looks pretty yeah. good. And, you know, he has to play an eternal character, so. But whatever they do, they're going to have to age him. They can't.
Yeah, they can't just.
So, you know, that doesn't make a ton of sense, because then Riker's going to be captain for 25 years?
Yep.
Or 20 years, whatever.
Or maybe he's an ambassador and Riker's not the lead, and maybe Will Wheaton is the lead now. Crusher.
Well, I think that's the best thing to do, is put him as a captain of the Enterprise, or at least, because in the Next Generation he disappears.
Yeah.
Well, he goes with the Traveler, they call him, and he could travel through dimensions. But then you see him later on in the movies. You see him in uniform getting married. When I think Riker's getting married.
Yeah.
He's a lieutenant. So.
I think it'd be a really good opportunity to bring Tom Hardy back. Just saying, I know he's dead in the universe, but maybe he's eternal.
Yeah,
that would be cool. Or even, like, let's say maybe they bring in Jayla. I liked her.
Yeah,
bring everybody in. Make it a whole.
I don't know what they.
If they make it Mirror Universe, they have my money. If they make it it's not a TNG reboot.
There's yeah, it's a continuation exactly. at the end of which
and they
is
also
fine,
have
which
my
I
money.
Think, yeah. But I don't know, and it doesn't make any sense to me, how this could clean up any problems that STD yeah. creates. Because if it's going to be alternate timeline, even if it wasn't, it's 200 years in the future. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make any sense. Like, how would it clean up any of your... It could run in a different universe,
yeah.
like the original universe, and say, fine. And we, you know... This is an alternate timeline, different from the one that, you know, was created in whatever the Star Trek.
Make it like the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah.
So, well, either way, it seems to see they both have our money.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely.
Yeah.
It's the only reason and STD are the only two reasons I need to.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else on it other than like Burn Notice reruns and The Mentalist. But speaking of STD, we didn't talk about their additions that we found out on Comic-Con. So they've added two major players into the Star Trek lore. They had Pike is joining the team, and he's played by Anson Mount.
Right.
Black Bolt from the one season of Inhumans.
Nobody probably knows.
Yeah, well, he was on Hell on Wheels on AMC.
Yeah.
So you might know him from that. And then they're adding Number One, who is being played by Rebecca Romijn.
Right.
And I think the last person to play Number One had Roddenberry in the last name. Merzel Barrett?
Yeah.
Merzel Barrett?
Yeah. But not necessarily Number One.
I think it was in the original pilot was the last person I was reading that was the
one. Yeah, the original. If you watch the double pilot, she was basically his number one, which is his second in command. So
what do you think about the additions of adding Pike and number one?
This is how you transfer over to any Enterprise stuff that you want to do. This is it.
Yeah.
This is the connection. Because they would have to be on the Enterprise at that time. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think they're rushing the Enterprise stuff with the inclusion of this? Or is this just... could this be straight-up fan service to the people who think STD is not Star Trek Discovery, but a venereal disease or a sexually transmitted disease?
Yeah. They have to do something to appease some people, but... I think it could be.
And you have a new showrunner, new writers, new showrunners. They have multiple showrunners.
Yeah, they got rid of all the toxic people there. So
maybe this is the original, and I believe Alex Kurtzman was the co-creator of this with Brian Fuller. Maybe this is the plan that he had envisioned in the first season before he went and did American God, or I think he went to do The Mummy. So I'm excited about it, and I was reading an article that Rebecca Romijn was like a huge Trekkie.
Yeah,
I think she knows this fandom. Like she knows the geek fandom.
Yeah, she's been in the geek sphere for a long time now.
With
so.
Mystique, but she's in the new Death of Superman animated movie. She plays Lois Lane.
Yeah,
so she knows like the fan base, and for her, she doesn't strike me as somebody who would have been a Star Trek fan per se.
Right.
But she said that she was all like, I guess maybe that was just like, oh, I'm on board at San Diego Comic Con, but. I'm curious to see where they go with this. But the big question is, Spock is now on the table for STD.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, are we going to see a third casting for Spock? Or with a CBS budget, can we bring Zachary Quinto in for a cameo?
I don't know if Zachary Quinto... Well, he's going to... If they have another Star Trek, he'll be in that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We have... I think we might have two Star Treks coming, right? We have the one with Chris Pine and all them.
Yeah.
And then we have the Quentin Tarantino Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
And from what I'm hearing, the next generation, or the Enterprise Star Trek stuff with Pine and all that, may actually focus on Chris Hemsworth. Because he played his father.
Okay, so like a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't...
There's so much conflicting stuff with this, because the next point on the notes is that Simon Pegg says the next Star Trek movie is going to take place 5 years after Beyond.
So, Tarantino is going to do the prequel.
I guess. I know he's shooting a Manson movie now. Charles, not Marilyn. And then he's going to go do this.
Okay.
But, I mean, in the world we're living in now, we're getting 5 Joker movies. Who knows how many Star Trek movies we're going to get.
There's only so many timelines I'm willing to accept. That's a lot to juggle. If it's a prequel and it has Hemsworth in it, that I'll watch.
Yeah.
But as long as you designate it as that, then it makes sense.
Yeah. If Tarantino makes it like an alternate timeline where where Chris Pine is actually still alive doing his thing, and Chris Hemsworth is alive still, like,
and it's in a. It's in Tarantino's universe.
Django's in it, and all his characters, like Leonardo DiCaprio's playing a Romulan. That would be cool, though. Actually, yeah, I'd like to see him in that universe.
I actually wouldn't mind seeing a bunch of Tarantino's
regulars
come in.
He does have a solid stable of actors and actresses. So.
I love working with him. So
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be, as a villain, that would be really cool. But to my original point, do we get a recast of Spock, or would you like?
I prefer not to. Yeah. I would really like to see just everybody likes Zachary Quinto, mm-hmm. but if you want to go younger, you might have to.
But you can de-age him. They did it for Michelle Pfeiffer and everybody in the Marvel universe.
Because he would have to be. I mean, Zachary Quinto's not old.
No,
he's got to be 40 something, and he would have to be whatever 30, something like that. Whatever they
just
have.
Throw a couple layers of makeup.
Yeah, so I think he could pull it off, make him, and, I don't know how much money's there.
I think that this could be, it's CBS, so they, hopefully, you think they have enough money for it, but I would think that this would be what S.H.I.E.L.D. wanted to do with, like, Marvel wanted to do with S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movie universe. Yeah. Like, this is your connective tissue right here, and this could be it, too. Star Trek Discovery can be the bridge, and you have Zachary Quinto, and they're like, oh my God, this connects to...
And S.H.I.E.L.D. always, it has always kind of referred to the movies for its next plot line, or led you up to the next plot line in the movie. So
I'd like to, personally, I'd like to see Zachary Quinto. I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately, just because of dollars and cents, and then people, this toxic fan base that we've already seen.
He would look like he's the same age as his dad.
Well, how quickly do Vulcans age?
They live for like 300 years.
All right, so you can make it seem like he's a younger. Just throw some specs on him. Right. Different haircut, like a higher bowl. Like a kind of like a millennial bowl.
Because, I mean, they casted Sarek as pretty young in this. But, yeah. I mean, he's probably like 100 years old. Right now, he's probably like
we're
80
talking
or something. So.
James Frayne.
Yeah.
And I believe he's coming back for season two.
Right, he's real important, and I don't know if the timeline, whatever the timeline changed, but... You know,
Spock's probably gonna be like a 15-year-old boy in this.
But yeah, she trained with Spock, didn't she?
She trained with Vulcans.
I thought she trained side by side with Spock.
I mean, that would be great.
Yeah.
And like, do you really need to justify the age?
No, not really.
No, I mean, either way, people are gonna bitch about
it. Yeah, you could have him young.
You could have William Shatner show up on the show, and he could be an admiral or an ambassador, and people would find a reason to bitch about it.
Right.
Oh, it's not, now it's the connector, you're just regurgitating characters. But, like, that's what the CW has done with all, like, the, who was the girl who played Wonder Woman? Linda Carter comes in, and she's playing the president. It's fun.
It's just like an homage to the original, nostalgic. So,
like, they could bring in Nichelle Nichols.
Right.
And she could play Michael's great-grandmother.
It's not a bad idea.
Right? So
just to have her in a universe, I think that'd be fun.
So to reply to that guy's series of bossy tweets, instead of the people, I'm sure the people that he suggested are great showrunners and writers, but if they're going to do any showrunning and writings for the CBS All Access stuff, I'm going to throw a gray hat in the ring, and I think it should be Jim and Tom from the Galaxy Wars podcast.
Yeah,
personally.
I love that idea.
So CBS All Access, I have your publicity markets email. I'm still waiting for a reply, by the way, and maybe we'll get a job.
All right.
All right, so let's do one more Star Trek thing, then we're going to go to the other side of the galaxy, and we're going to talk the wars. 5 years from Beyond, how would you do it? And should this be the last movie?
Yeah, I think if...
It's a big cast to keep going.
Yeah, to string along.
Exactly, especially when most of them are wrapped up in superhero franchises, and you know, Uhura's in the Avatar world, and you know, we're getting 75 of those.
Yeah, I think it should be, but if it's going to be, it's got to lead into something unexpected that you never thought they would, and it's got to go further than the original did, and I maybe...
Yeah, who would you bring in as the...
Maybe, like, I already said it once. I think, like, a Q.
Yeah.
Because you don't meet the Q. But they, you know, show by show, they ran into super powerful beings.
Yeah.
Like, you know, once every 2 weeks, they ran into somebody that had powers that were beyond everybody else's. There's a lot of those people on there. That was kind of their thing. So, but...
I mean, we saw what they ran into on the City on the Edge of Forever.
Right.
Where if you mess up with time, you're done. Like, nothing exists.
So, to make it interesting, I think it would be good to see them do somebody that they were never supposed to meet. Maybe, like, a TNG.
Maybe the Borg?
Maybe the Borg.
Because what have we seen so far? We've seen Krill.
Yeah.
And I don't remember where he was. But, he was a human. Right? And then he transferred into, like, he transformed into that. But then we've seen the Romulan.
Yeah.
We saw Khan.
Yep.
I mean, the next step would probably, you'd probably want to do the Borg, right?
Yeah, I think Borg is the way to go because it's not TNG. It's not, you know, the original series.
Yeah.
It's something from TNG.
Could they just do what the Discovery is doing and make it a Klingon story?
Then you gotta... They really haven't touched on the really, or maybe Cardassians.
Yeah, that was my next one.
Yeah.
And you could have every Kardashian in the movie. And then you could just waste them.
Yeah.
All the Jenners, everybody. Bring them all. Their spouses, their ex-spouses. We can put every rapper that they've dated, we can put them all in there.
All the careers they ruined.
Yeah, just blow up the world, the planet. And they're gone. Would you like them to do like an adaptation of City on the Edge of Forever?
Like a long term?
Yeah.
Or one for the movie?
Yeah, like where it takes place on Earth?
I don't know.
Or is that like...
I think it was... Right? Yeah, I think it's kind of over for that particular thing. I kind of like... I mean, the idea's fun, but what else would you do that they weren't able to accomplish in one episode? I mean, it was a really good episode. Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, I don't think there's a thing that you can... You know, we always talk about leave, you know, don't ruin something great.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, if they don't try to do something better.
I say you end it with the notion that it's over, but the door could still be open maybe 10, 15 years from now when these actors' careers aren't booming. And you can say, all right, you know, we're gonna finish up and keep it real time.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing 15 years later?
Well, that's what they're doing with... Well, I mean...
With Picard, yeah.
Well, that's what they did with the original series, too, is, you know, 1980 was the first movie.
Yeah.
It was 13 years after it ended, or whatever. Yeah, 12 years after it ended. So, that is kind of the thing they've done, and now they're bringing Picard back 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years after the last movie that he was in? I don't even know.
What about... All right, now, I know I've made reference to this a few times, but and I know it doesn't persist to pertain to the original series, but what if they just did a mirror broken with this universe? These guys are young, they're attractive. I mean, that's a storyline in the comics that would cater to this cast now.
Yeah.
Like, super buff Chris Pine, super buff, super sexy Zoe Saldana.
Or... That's Quentin Tarantino's bag right there. Yeah. Is the darker side of things, the darker reality, the
bloody side. Like they're that just getting lashed.
I
mean,
I know that's not what he's going to do, but that'd be great for him to,
yeah,
like co-direct the darker mirror universe of the main. I don't know.
That would be fun though.
Yeah,
that'd be a fun storyline. I'm excited for it. I know Simon Pegg. He's been bulking up, so maybe that's a. Like in Mission Impossible, he got huge for it, and nobody told him to get big. But maybe they're doing, he's going to have some shirtless scenes in Star Trek.
Right.
Because I don't think they're doing Shaun of the Dead 2, although that would be a great movie too. Maybe he's doing some Mirror Broken stuff, getting super buff, buff Scotty.
Yeah. I'd like to see Nick Frost in this. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for really Nick Frost to show up in every movie he's in.
But. And he's kind of evolved his career too. Like, he's not just the doughy, funny guy anymore. He's in Into the Badlands. He was on Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that whole cast in there.
Yeah.
Give Edgar Wright the movie.
Yeah. That like, wouldn't be
bring
bad.
Bring in Martin Freeman. Bring everybody in there.
Put it in the Shaun of the Dead universe. Right,
exactly. Turns out, like, they just wake up, it's a dream. Yeah. Like, that's the parody. I would be on board for it, but we'll see. We got 5 years. We got a couple years. I think it's out in 2020. Yeah. So we have some time to kind of speculate. Yeah. But
I mean, 5 years, I like that idea because then they don't have to dwell on anything. I mean, they could, you know, 5 years is enough time where it's not going to reflect on the mood. Like, whatever went on is not going to hold them back or reflect on their future.
Exactly.
So in 5 years, they could have went across the universe or the known galaxy and found something new.
The intro to that movie could be flashbacks through the 5 years of them fighting someone like the Borg and the Cardassians and whoever. You know, even the Klingons. They could fight all these guys, and then it's like, we've been through it all, and this is the end. This is the end game. Star Trek Endgame is what I would call it.
Yeah.
That would be a good one. All right, so from one side of the galaxy to the other side of the galaxy, we're going to talk Star Wars. Now, these might be some hot takes, because I'm on a love-hate relationship with Star Wars right now.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Yeah, and I want to know is if Episode 9 sucks, right? I feel like it's going to be completely retconned from what The Last Jedi was now that J.J. Abrams is back. If Episode 9 doesn't make what we all think it should make, is this new trilogy a failure?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
One good movie out of three?
Yeah.
Because The Force Awakens was good. But my general problems with the new Star Wars movie, and this might come off really sacrilegious to this is what we cut our teeth in, but I feel like they haven't given the supporting characters good enough stories.
Right.
And everything's kind of unclear. We know that one person is a legacy, and that's Ben he's legacy to Han and Leia. We don't know who Rey is, and that could all be retconned with JJ coming back, and because Rian Johnson said "fuck you, JJ" in The Last Jedi to everything.
Yeah,
Phasma, the cool helmets, Snoke, the lightsabers, Reylo, all this. Watch, shit.
I don't. I mean, how much of that? How much control did he have?
He did it all.
Yeah.
Like they said, so much that they gave him a new trilogy after this. So he came in and was like, oh, you like this cool ass helmet? No more. You like Snoke? He's important. Rey's parents are important. No, not to me.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker dying in a hologram is important to me. Right. And the thing I have with this is like, they've said like maybe Finn is going to be a legacy now. Is he Billy Dee Williams' kid? Well, if he is, I don't think that it translated well because Billy Dee Williams has like uber swag. And Finn has zero swag.
He doesn't need to be Billy Dee Williams' kid.
Exactly. I don't think anybody in this movie should be a legacy other than Ben Kenobi.
Right.
And you can move your storyline away from the Skywalkers as they slowly kill everybody.
Yeah.
Because my next question to that is, like, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill are getting heavy roles in Episode 9.
Yeah.
And Lando's back. So, like,
even though,
like, what is going on?
Carrie Fisher's dead in real life.
And she's going to have an expanded role, they said.
Yeah.
How much B-roll did they get from Episode 8 that they're going to include in Episode 9?
They're going to do the Grand Moff Tarkin thing, I guess. They're going to have to put the mask on somebody.
Well, they're saying that they have a ton of footage. All her scenes are pretty much shot.
Okay.
But, like, I think that's stupid.
Yeah. I mean,
I get that, like, she's important to the storyline. She should
have, not because she died in real life, she should have died in the last movie.
Exactly. We didn't need Mary Poppins Skywalker.
Her discovering she has the Force.
Yeah. We didn't need that. At that point.
Yeah.
And this could be a good way for JJ to come in. If I were JJ, I would come in and say, you know what? The fans are angry. Rian Johnson destroyed, for the most part, what I've built. You know, there's a petition to get Episode 8 remade again. It's got like 200,000 names on it.
And we came out liking the movie from the theater.
Yeah.
Visually, it was really good. And then, like that's something he did fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, he visually got you. And then when you thought about the story and thought about the waste.
Yeah.
And we talked about waste before. And, you know, J.J. Abrams did that to us. We wasted, you know, Phasma. And we wasted a bunch of other characters. And then
It's one of those movies that once you watch a second time, you're like, okay, this is where you've gone wrong. And like I found so many plot points with that movie that I'm like, I don't enjoy this anymore.
Right.
You spend too much time on toy grabs with the Porgs and with Chewie and with BB-8 and like all the I don't know, those giant like llamas they were riding over at the casino planet. It just kind of just made it like Episode 9 has to make or break this for like it needs to be super popular. But I feel like there's so many answers or questions that need to be answered. Are we going to find out that Kylo was lying to Rey and she's a legacy child?
Yeah.
Are we going to find out the origin of Snoke? And where do we go? Like, where do we go?
What a waste that Snoke was. What a waste. Exactly.
Where do we go with the Knights of Ren? Like, we've been teased for two episodes that the Knights of Ren are the next Sith. Like, that these are, like, the bad guys.
And, well, we've been teased for 9 movies, or 8 movies at this point, that, you know, the Skywalker, at least Luke, Anakin first, Luke now, and maybe potentially Leia, have all, you know, they were the ones that were going to change everything.
Yeah. And now Kylo, he's half Skywalker.
Yeah. So, when does that pay off? Have you literally strung us along for 8 movies to never pay it off? You know, when they told Anakin in the movies, oh, you're going to, you know, you're evil, you're too old, you don't train, you have too much anger, this, that, and everything. And prophecy says you're the one that's going to change or, you know, bring everybody down, bring the Sith down. And everybody's like, well, that was by having Luke and Leia. That's what that meant.
Yeah.
Well, now Luke and Leia haven't really paid out. You know, we thought Luke did. We thought Luke did by killing the Emperor and bringing the Sith down, but now that's not even happening. Yep. Luke's gone.
Yep.
So, and he didn't defeat Kylo.
Yeah. How much?
So there's still Sith out there.
How much Force ghost are we gonna get? And is Kylo truly a Sith? Because I don't think so. I think Kylo's gonna become kind of gray.
Yeah. Because I think was the right thing. That's the only thing Rian Johnson did. I liked was he kind of pushed this grayness of Luke on us, but And then we lost Luke in a dumb way, I think.
And I feel like just like Kylo Ren, the writing for that character, I get he's conflicted. But they've made him just a whiny child that had one really good fight scene.
Yeah.
And that was overshadowed by the fact that Rey came in the fight scene so much rage. Mm-hmm. Like she just came in with just so much rage in that fight scene that it looks like that she might be making the heel turn.
Yeah, and they you know, that's what I think we talked about even after we saw it the first time, before we really changed our minds on whether it was good or not, was we said that like he heard the fans and decided to, you know, say go jerk yourself off because I like the fact that you're mad at me. Yeah. Like he trolled us.
He trolled everybody.
Everybody. He trolled us with everything about Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Rey like getting real close to making the turn, then didn't.
Yep.
Snoke. He trolled us with Snoke. He knew. He heard everybody say Phasma is a cool character. Yep. At least she should be. So he brings her back for like 2 seconds, just and then die. Has her lose in a worse way.
Yep.
So he trolled us, you know, by hearing the fans and then saying, go fuck yourselves. We're going to, you know, do something different.
Yeah.
For a second, I liked it because I liked the visuals and I didn't really think about the movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, calm down, you know, in the refractory period, it was like, wow, this is not great.
No. And the thing about it goes back to the supporting characters for me. They don't know where they're going with a character like Rose and Finn and Poe. Like, Poe, is Poe the new Han Solo? Is he the new Leia? Is Finn the new Han Solo? Like, Finn, they really just said, all right, you're going to be a love interest in two different character storylines.
Yeah.
Like, he's got redeemable qualities, and Finn could be a total badass. Like, just his history alone, being like, they could utilize that, but they've really made him this reckless kind of like, oh, let me give you a lightsaber. Like, they really have wrote his character wrong. Rose, I don't even know what's going to happen with Rose.
Well, and you think, like, we talked, oh, it was, you know, all right, well, Snoke died, whatever. Two Force users fighting Snoke will bring him down. But, like, he really went down like a bitch when you think about, he basically rebuilt the entire Republic.
Yeah.
You know, and in his own image. And,
yeah.
And put himself at the front of it. Either he's being controlled by somebody, you know, we don't see that. Or it was just kind of a poor strand that they wanted to cut.
I think all three villains that they've established in this movie have been awful.
Right.
Ben, you can justify that he's going to make a turn. Snoke's gone with a huge build-up and a very small payoff. And then there's Hux, who's controlled by everybody. You know, he gets trolled in the beginning of the movie by Poe.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was fun, but, like, was it needed? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he's a bitch to Kylo Ren. And then he's a bitch to Snoke. Like, I don't know where they're going to go. So I think JJ, he's come to Twitter. And I don't think that was a good idea when people are getting off of Twitter. But he's come to Twitter for episode 9. I think that in order to make this movie right and make this franchise end it right, because they're not going to go episode 10 with this. At least I hope not. They need to answer all the questions, maybe do a little retconning, and make this movie like 3 hours long.
Can you retcon from literally one movie, the last movie, to the new movie?
Yeah.
That's a lot of retconning to do. Like, you could retcon, you know, from episode 4 to now, but
yeah,
you can't.
I bring in a new helmet for Kylo, number one. I think he needs a new lightsaber. Cool design. I don't like it. If they're going to bring in Force Ghost Luke, which I'm assuming that's the plan, you're going to get a lot of Force Ghost Luke, you should get a lot of Force Ghost Snoke.
Or, yeah.
Because, okay, Snoke's dead, but do they truly die? Like, if you're strong in the Force, you can come back, right? Or is that just if you're a strong Jedi?
Yeah, why can't there be a Force Ghost Sith. Palpatine.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't even need to bring him back, but there's got to be somebody else. Maybe there's some, like, Darth Plagueis or somebody like that.
Right.
Maybe there's a true Sith, because right now you have the Republic, no Sith, because Darth the prophecy...
Darth Plagueis is the one that makes the most sense, because his storyline was... He was the one that started to, like, try to live forever.
Exactly. And there was the prophecy.
Through the dark side.
Yeah, and, you know, the prophecy with Vader was that we're going to bring down the Empire, or we're going to bring down the Sith, and with when I die, the Sith die. And that's well and good, but there you have to establish good villains afterwards, and we haven't established that, so right. There has to be somebody
bigger. That's the thing, is they haven't spent a ton of time talking about why Ben went to the dark side.
Yeah.
They haven't showed anything.
They just showed they that Luke was going to turn on him.
Luke thought he was, I don't know. But, like, why didn't we see his, like, why does he worship Darth Vader?
Exactly.
Why? Where'd he find these other dark force users?
And he's not concerned with the Sith. Like, he doesn't want to bring it back, but he's molded his entire look and his entire mission against what Darth Vader has done. Like, that, I want to be Darth Vader Jr., but I don't want to be a Sith.
Yeah, like, where did he find all these other dark force users and stuff like that when as you haven't touched on any of that? So,
yeah, and the thing about...
This isn't going to go 12, we think, because...
They're saying that this is it.
Episode Star Wars 9 only works in trilogies, so...
They're saying Episode 9 is the last one. At least it should be. But the thing, if you look back on, like, Rogue One and you look back on Solo, the two things that really stuck out about those movies was Rogue One included an awesome Darth Vader scene.
Yep.
And Solo included Darth Maul. You know what I mean? The setup of the villains was, you know, you had Dryden Voss, and then you had Mendelsohn's character, Krennic. They were good villains, but they weren't great villains. And at the end, you get the true big bad villains. I feel like that's what we need with Episode 9. You end it with the big bad villain.
Yeah. And Darth Plagueis is that villain. Well, we said it before. Their side stories have become better than the actual story.
Yeah.
So,
and, I mean, they could... I don't know in the timeline where Thrawn is set up.
Yeah.
They could bring someone in like that and just speed up the process, or just... I mean, we know that the side stories weren't canon.
I think... Yeah, I don't even know if it matters if you even have a big bad. You could still say Snoke was the bad guy.
Yeah.
But... The problem is now, like, you have to tell the story.
Yeah.
You have to... why you're never going to tell us where Snoke came from.
Exactly.
You're never going to tell us why Ben turned.
Mm-hmm.
Turned so much to kill his dad. You're never going to tell us any of that.
You're not going
to
tell us why Rey's important.
You're not going to spend more than... I mean, like you said, you have to close all the storylines up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to close Rey's storyline. You have to close Ben's storyline. You have to close Poe's storyline. Yep. You have to close Finn's storyline. You have to close the... Well, now you have to close Leia's storyline.
Leia, yeah. And if Luke's back, you got to close his. You have to close the addition of Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian.
Right. So if you're going to... That's all in the air right now. We don't know their storyline, how they tie together, if they're important. Sure, you could, you know, close it all up real nice and neat for them, but you still... If you're not going to tell us who Snoke, where Snoke came from, or if you're not going to tell us why Ben turned, who these other Force users, you know, are you going to save? Because if you save that for a side story, that kind of sounds like it should have been in the main story.
Exactly.
But you wasted time. Or how did they build this other other army of not clones? And they kind of only slightly touched on like a recruitment thing, but... If you're only going to spend, like you did with everything else, spend like 30 seconds on it, then move past it. I don't think it's good enough to close all the problems that we have.
Exactly, and I think Episode 8 is to blame. Yeah. I think there was so much wrong with Episode 8 that it kind of moved everything. I personally wouldn't give Rian Johnson that trilogy. If Episode 9 is successful and J.J. made lemonade out of those lemons that Rian Johnson did, then give him his own story, don't touch the Skywalkers, and do your thing. But if this is a mess, I would say, Rian Johnson, you might need to rethink what you're going to do in the Star Wars universe.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, we got to see how all this works out. I don't know. Because what could have they done better?
Yeah.
They could have had, you know, shown how Snoke...
Yeah.
What Snoke did.
Mm-hmm.
To make him become the leader, but, you know, they didn't do any of that.
Yep.
They haven't done any of that. Yeah. You know, why? How does Rey have so much power?
Exactly. And I think
we don't know anything about that. And they said it doesn't matter. We walked through that goddamn cave for 40 minutes, but nothing came of it.
Yeah.
She just saw a bunch of mirrors.
And a bunch of snaps.
Yeah.
And that was even the big snap of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the bigger one from Thanos. So it is what it is. We have a year to think about this. A year and 5 months, 4 months, because it comes out in December of 2019. So I think that what JJ's doing is he's doing a lot of fan service now. He's bringing in Leia again. He's bringing Mark Hamill back, and he's bringing Billy Dee Williams in. So, you know, Lando should have been in the first movie, honestly. But we're the second one for a funeral for Han, which we still haven't seen.
Yeah, he's still gonna. Yeah, well, they have no planet, so
yeah. But they go back to like with the Ewoks or Cloud City or whatever. Who knows? We're gonna move away from Star Wars because we're probably alienating all our fans. Hate mail right now on the Twitters.
You know, we talk. This isn't poisonous fandom. This is actual like analysis of what's going on and trying to figure it out. We don't hate anybody. Maybe Rian Johnson.
Yeah,
but. They created more problems, and
we're just revisiting
for it to be ratified. He could, you know, J.J. Abrams could create a fantastic one-shot story in Episode 9, and then, you know, we see it, and it looks great. It is a good movie, but it doesn't close any of those plot holes. It's just a great standalone movie. Then, all right, well, that works for a little bit, but then you really have to start talking about it and thinking about it. And says the overall storyline doesn't work.
Exactly.
And now you've given us literally since 1970, or what, 77, whenever the first one came out, we've been talking about these movies, and now there's no conclusion to all the storylines.
There needs to be a huge payoff and a oh shit moment.
Right.
Like, there has to be that moment. But let's move on to our year in review. We've done our podcast for a year. We've recorded episodes in three states, West Virginia, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. We've done our podcast festival. We've had our guests on. Where do we stand as far as a podcast? How do you feel we've progressed?
We're still growing, right? Mm-hmm. I think we did great, though. Liked it.
Solid first year. Listens on every continent except Antarctica.
Yep.
Which is huge. I've never thought, you know, somebody in Jakarta would be listening to my voice.
I never thought Tokyo would be our third biggest
right?
listenership. Single city listenership. Yeah. I think we've done great. And, we're both real, real busy outside of this.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, been tough to do it every week. But, you know, we forget about it when we're here and we kind of do something pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, something I think we both like and... You know.
We've had some awesome guests on.
Yeah, that's been huge. Like, I've never thought somebody might say, well, they're not huge guests, but they are for us.
Exactly.
They're people that,
Eisner winners.
Since we've hung out, I've been talking about how great Chew is and how much I liked it. And, you know, we both read the whole entire Expanse in like a week because it was so good. And just to get those people on.
Yep.
And the Expanse has become huge since then.
Exactly.
But not because of us.
No, certainly not because of us, because of their storyline. But, you know, we had Daniel Abraham on. We had John Layman, who is coming back at the end of August, if not the early September, because Leviathan is out. Yeah. Did you get the first issue?
Yes. But I was hoping maybe we'll get all of it, finish it, and then... Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
That is such a good read. So issue number one is out right now in your local comic book stores from John Layman and Image Comics. So definitely go pick that up. What was your favorite episode?
I'm not going to include the...
our live show was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the live show was my favorite. And it was so much better than I thought it was going to be. Everybody was engaged more.
Yeah.
Like... The crowd and people there were more engaged than...
From two introverts, right?
Yeah.
Two introverts doing a podcast, and then we go live with
them. All the interviews are great, but, like, actual show, I think the live show is the best one.
I love the live show, but I'm still going Vincent and the Doctor. I'm holding tough with that. I've watched that, like, four or five times since then. So I'm going to go with that one. And as far as the year in review, I think like I said, we've been listened to on places we never thought we'd be listened to. We've gotten guests... And we're just going to continually evolve. And that's the thing. Like, we started as one plan of we were going to review episodes.
Yeah.
And that was fun. And we're still reviewing stuff. We recorded reviewed movies. We might review SummerSlam. Like, you know what I mean? We've evolved our podcast because we realized that episodically, we're not telling... Like, it goes back to what we were talking about with Star Trek. We're not telling the same story. over and over again. Like, there has to be a connective arc, and our connective arc is you give us sci-fi, we're going to review it, whether it's television, books, right. anything like that. And when we're not reviewing it, our original content is just as good.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with where we're at for our year, and I think just with we might have a guest coming up this week, if not next week. We've got people coming up at the end of the month. We've got a lot of stuff to really progress with.
Yep.
And I'm excited for it.
I've said this like every podcast now, and I think we're going to engage more with people that talk to us on Twitter and stuff like that, and maybe some shout outs and, you know, you know, good tweets and good posts. And
absolutely.
You're always always trying to get more festivals in and stuff like that. So
yeah, and your number two starts right after this episode. So yeah, we're going to bring our A game, and we're definitely going to give shout outs and share our love of our listeners and our followers on the social medias, like the Grays on Twitter, THEGRYS, on Instagram, we're the Galaxy Wars Podcast, Facebook, the Galaxy Wars Podcast, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all the podcast directories, the Galaxy Wars Podcast. I have the Active Geek Podcast. You can follow me there. Den of Nerds on YouTube. You can follow me there. And I think we're going to conclude our year.
Yep.
We're going to end this right, and the Grays will be back reviewing your sci-fi next week. See ya.
Bye.